Okay, Brahmacon, get something in there. I mean, picture something. Just, I have probably mentioned it over and over again, but still, it's important. What's the big thing here that is very important, and which I would say, if I look back again, I'm kind of out of touch with I've been so far away with this situation nowadays. So you take this as an historical document, if nothing else, that, you know, we have here a building with apartments where devotees have their homes. Well, it used to be a building for devotees only, and I think it actually should be so, dedicated to devotees of Krishna. And well, I would even say, if possible, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because that's how this building came about, by and for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But Vaishnavas, those who want to live as devoted servants of God, can live together with others who are devoted servants of God. That's Sadhu Sangha, that's what's nice. Now, this has, of course, been there for since I joined ISKCON in 78. You have a building, several, and you have people joining, moving in, as you'd call it then, taking up Bhakti Yoga, getting initiated, and there we are, calling ourselves and each other, at least devotees, Krishna. So here we have some devotees living together. Now, that's all good and well. Now, from there, you can do it right and you can do it wrong. And I would say, one thing we did wrong in the past that I hope, and this is really much of my motivation for making this video, I hope is gone or is getting gone. And that is that, yes, here you are, and there's a temple, there are devotees living there. Now, if, well, you can see it top heavy or bottom up, so to speak. And with top heavy, I mean that, yes, here we have the leaders, the advanced devotees, the senior devotees, those with impressive titles and positions. They are responsible for running this temple operation project, whatever is going on there. They hold the money and they hold the man and women power. In other words, those who live there as devotees, servants of Krishna. My job is to engage them in that service. And their job is to serve, well, by serving the Vaishnavas, to serve Krishna. So if we're serving leaders, well, yeah, I'm one of them, although I'm humble, then you serve God and Prabhupada and so on. In other words, and this is what I think all of us saw, but we're getting used to it being normal, that the devotees in general, and I know it, because I was in the regional council and the national council 7 years, and yes, there you were, the leaders, the older, the senior, the advanced devotees who wouldn't even dare to say that, but kind of implied. And down there in the temples, on the ground, so to speak, there are the devotees in general, or common devotees, or ordinary devotees, or whatever word. And if they lived outside of the temple, not serving the temple management or whatever, then, I mean, this is how it was in the old days. And I think some may think I'm just making it up, but I can testify, and I think many with me from those 8 days. If you lived outside of the doors of the temple compound, you were not really a real devotee. You normally didn't get initiated, because you hadn't really surrendered, which meant, you know, you give up everything and you just move in the temple and serve the temple management and serve the guru. And funny enough, I remember being in Kathmandu in '88, and the devotees, temple president, speaking there to some other devotees, a little heavy, saying that, well, your gurus are not allowed to tell you what to do here. That's the temple president who decides what you should do in this temple. So these kind of issues came up also. Now, as you can see there, and I think that maybe some even have to wake up a little bit to see it, because you get used to things, thinking they're normal. But if you see it this way, actually, what happened, and again, we can't really close our eyes to that fact anymore, I think, that some devotees, because that's what I call a person who takes up Harinam, Japa, offering food to Krishna, serving Krishna, going, reading Prabhupada's books, so on. You're a devotee, right? And serving Krishna. Whether you do it as the big guru, the temple president, or a pot washer. Krishna, as we know, he doesn't make any difference there. It's a service. If it's done with love, that counts, right? We learn that. But sometimes those devotees down there on the ground, so to speak, were treated as inferior, hardly even as real devotees. Just some, you know, aspiring devotees or whatever, or, you know, simple people who don't understand much. And that our spiritual life, the spiritual life of the devotees there down on the ground, so to speak, consists of serving the higher castes, you could say, or the you know, the brahmanas, the guru, and so on. In this way you serve the disciplic succession, and in this way you serve Krishna. And that's what Krishna means with, if you call yourself my devotee, you're not my devotee. If you call yourself devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So we should be the devotees of the guru and the advanced devotees. But there's another side to this. They say the best leader is the best follower. And I would say that if you're a leader, you have to be a good servant. In other words, whether you're a leader of a Krishna temple or a country or whatever, the qualification for being that, because you need very specific qualifications, is not just any job. I would say the most important qualification is that, one of the most important at least, is that you see yourself as a servant of those who are you are responsible for. You take that responsibility by doing your job to make sure that they are taken care of, can live happily, safely, have a home, have food, have, you know, being whatever falls under your responsibility. That's what leadership means. Not that, look here, I'm the leader, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of the money, I'm in charge of the manpower, I'm in charge of the properties that I own here. They are mine. I heard leaders say that, ISKCON leaders. And yes, we will do fantastic things, projects, programs, preaching this and that, and drive, and I'm running this administration and this movement, this organization. And then the devotees are simply, the ordinary devotees are simply down there serving all of this good thing that I'm in charge of. So you may see here that there's something a little bit strange. So I would rather than look at it, the side which I think is the right side. Yes, I'm the leader here, I'm the servant of you all, as Prabhupada said when he was asked, when he was here in Sweden, 73. You say there are these four castes and the Brahmana, so you are then the top caste and the Brahmana, or what? And Prabhupada said, no, I'm the fifth class because I'm the servant of everyone else. And that's Vaishnava, that's not just fine talk. That's how Vaishnava feels, and that's how a Vaishnava, someone in a leadership position, should understand that position. So I'm just saying that what sometimes was overlooked was this, that first of all, those in leadership position, whatever you are leader of, should see themselves as servant of the devotees, servants of all the devotees that they have under their care, so to speak, or in their responsibility. Vaishnava seva, serving each other, making friends with each other, cooperating, sharing, being there for each other, not pointing fingers and judging and hating because this one is not the same as I am. Oh, he has a little different opinion. He said something that I don't recognize, therefore he's a demon. We were sometimes also very much like that. Or he moved out of the temple, he's not a devotee anymore. We were like that. And what I'm saying here, and this is my theory that I throw out here for all of you to think and say what you think about, but I think it's very important that what this led to was a lot of bad behavior towards devotees, Vaishnavas, Krishna servants, which is in effect what Vaishnava Aparad means. Vaishnava Aparad doesn't just mean that you go up to someone and beat them up or say something nasty. It means to treat Vaishnavas badly, including exploiting and, you know, taking all their money, all their work power, just work harder, and giving as little as possible. Even sometimes under the philosophical pretext, so to speak, that, yeah, that's what it's about, to live simple and humble. You need to be humble and we should, you know, simple living, high thinking, so you should be satisfied with that. But I would say that Brahmakund, and this is something that maybe that I'm not blaming anyone, it became institutionalized, that style, and it still lived on here, maybe still does. And that's why I think this is a good example of how to handle this and correct it. And if you think this is a guy who's just criticizing and envious and whatever, which people sometimes are trained to think when someone doesn't just go, Jai Haribol, everything is fine. Then remember that we are talking here about Vaishnava Aparad. And I am saying now, just to be frank, if you think I'm some idiot talking here, that if you have a building, a rental building offering homes to Vaishnava devotees, little apartments they can rent, and you want to get as high rent as you can from them, but then you don't put anything into that, those money in return to maintaining their apartments. So they live substandard, well, and even the building is kind of falling apart because buildings need to be maintained and renovated regularly. If you do that and then you use that building to take money out of those and put into your other projects, those that you find important, then you are almost, you could say, a parasite, because you're sucking out the life of those devotees by taking as much as you can from them, both in forms of service and money, and then you don't care about them. And I know some, they would say, well, what are you talking about? Everything is fine and we are all fine and it's all good. But it isn't. And if you don't allow yourself, you know, this cognitive dissonance, if you don't allow yourself to see that, and we Swedes can be like that, you know, everything is fine. What are you complaining about? Because I'm fine, or I can tolerate. We line up under the leader and we just be like everyone else and everything is good. But you know, if you do that and you shut up, you keep quiet, you don't do anything, you don't complain about things that are wrong, but it's about Vaishnava Parad, offenses towards, behavior towards devotees, and you are part of that too. So what I'm actually saying here and suspecting is that maybe it is this that has kept the International Society for Krishna Consciousness here in Sweden and maybe elsewhere from flourishing and blooming. And I challenge you, if you're against or not with me here, let's try and do that. For instance, here now it's a good chance in Brahmakund. Make it into a place of service to the devotees, especially those devotees who gave the best years of their lives to serve ISKCON here in Sweden, Srila Prabhupada's movement, gave up education, job, everything, and has been serving for 40, 50 years, such as Tarksha Prabhu, for instance, where Bhaktanidhi came a little late, but still. One after another, and several moved away from here. So, but I'm remembering them too, who have lived here throughout the years since this house came into being in 93. So, yes, Vaishnava Seva, not just the big fine ones on the Vyasa San, but every devotee, the humble devotees, even the simple invisible devotees, and to learn to see and appreciate their dedication and service, even though it may not be, you know, this fine, high, spectacular level. Because we learn that, you know, it shouldn't judge devotees that way. Simple devotee or a very smart or powerful person who is a devotee, it doesn't matter. It's a soul thing, right? And I say, this is my challenge and my claim. If we do that, then Krishna will shower blessings upon Brahmakon. It will flourish. It will be beautiful. It will be a happy place for devotees to live together and help each other, support each other. And some of us, you know, we are growing older. And some of us, including myself, and there are others living here in the house, devotees, who are approaching the age where you need a little bit help from others to take care of yourself. Shopping, cooking, I mean, we know we can really help each other. For instance, having a common kitchen for those who cannot cook themselves or whatever, to help each other, serve each other that way. And I promise by experience, because that's how we did it in Gothenburg, a bit at least. And if someone is not agreeing with me, then you are welcome. And I don't claim that we were doing it perfect, but I've seen it in action where devotees are simply friends and helping each other and working together, respecting everyone. Not that we should now all suffer and die for Krishna by working until we fall to pieces. It's not what Krishna wants. Krishna wants the devotees to be happy and show by being happy and harmonious and good friends and, you know, all of that. A good example. Teaching by example, isn't it? So, this could be a happiest place on earth. Because here's a chance, you know, we can live together with devotees. And of course, I'm not saying that we don't, because that's how we've been doing for all these years. But all of the devotees should be considered and taken care of. Not that we just look at some here and forget the others. And I'm definitely not talking about myself, because I am okay. My apartment is fine. I fix it up myself. And Krishna takes care of me and has been doing so all my life. I'm talking about the other devotees. I don't need any renovation in my apartment or this or that. Just make sure the rats don't get back in my kitchen next autumn. And that we have heating and water and warm water and all of that. Electricity works and so on. And that's how devotees generally are. We don't have those high expectations here. But then if the economy is not properly taken care of, there's no budget, there is hardly any counting, money just flying here and there, then I know what happens. And that's why when you run a company or an organization, you have to have an organization and a budget and accounting and proper, really someone who keeps tight control over the money, not just by saving in on all the costs for maintaining apartments or those things that are really just for the ordinary devotees down there, while just letting money fly into any other project that's, you know, becomes preaching or becomes, you know, the successors of our temple or something like that. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. And this is my suggestion, and I'm not the only one. And I would really love to hear others come with their opinions, because I think there should be a good discussion about this among devotees in Sweden, not just the ones who are there inside the groups of that group or that group, but everyone, all devotees. I mean, I would really love to see one day an Ishti Goshti for all the devotees in Sweden. Since the very beginning, you're all welcome, and we are all treating you as nice devotees, Vaishnava. And Chakalpa, Tarubhyascha, and so on. Isn't that nice? Do you think that you will be contaminated if you do that to someone who's not fully authorized, advanced enough? But again, we have all these hidden, unsung heroes who have been working and serving for so many years without hardly even being noticed or just being criticized. So please, this is, I'm begging really here, because I think this is very essential. And all these things that have happened got me thinking, and I've been doing it for years, and we have been discussing it, different devotees of my generation, and come to this conclusion. So it's not that we're here criticizing, but really trying and suggesting something that I think is a solution, is what can make this movement really take off. This Vaishnava culture, this bhakti path that we can all walk and be happy by. So, yeah, I'm just an old missionary man, preacher, that's what I was always. And that's what I'm happy being, and I don't want to be involved with management or any of those things anymore. Had enough of that. So I'm talking, and I think several oldies like me, talking to the young generation, you take over now, but do it right. And learn how actually successful, and I'm not talking materialistically successful, but interpersonally successful organizations are managed, and how, in this case, a commercial rental building should be managed successfully. These are two different things. Therefore, I think it makes good sense to split the two there. Not demand professional, commercial real estate management skills in those who take up, you know, some responsibility in a local Krishna community like that. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.